This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
My brothers and my sisters, one thing that is inevitable is that every single person sitting here today is going to leave this world one way or the other. Allah tells us in the Quran, "Kullu nafsin da'iqatu al-maut." Every single soul is going to taste death. Allah tells us in another ayah, "Walikulli ummatin ajal." Every single person has a appointed time. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. And when the time comes, nobody's time is going to be put forward and no one's going to be delayed. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, to death, age is nothing but a number. How many reminders do we need? How many people need to die? How many young people need to lose their lives before some of us youngsters, we actually realize that it's not 50 years that you have to wait before life is taken away from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time and time again, He tells us in the Quran with regards to this death, how it's going to come. It's going to come to us unexpected, whether you're young, whether you're old. But the main question that arises is, how many of us are actually prepared? How many of us have actually readied themselves for that day when that death is going to come to us unexpectedly? That angel of death, my brothers and my sisters, is not going to come through social media. You're not going to receive a message from the angel of death telling you over WhatsApp, over Facebook, that your death is going to happen in a couple of minutes. The question is, my brothers and my sisters, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. Have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. And also check, investigate, look into what you brought forward of that which you have prepared for tomorrow. Umar ibn Khattab, my brothers and my sisters, was an ayah, was a wonderful example with regards to how a person should live his life, how a person should hold himself to account. An incident that took place in the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was, جَاءَ رَجْلٌ يَشْكُو إِلَىٰ عُمَرِ بْنُ خَطَّابِ بِسَبَبِ رَجْلٍ ظَلَمَهِ. A man came to Umar ibn Khattab complaining about somebody who oppressed him. Umar ibn Khattab became annoyed. He said, أَتَتْرُكُونَ الْخَلِيفَ حِينَ يَكُونُ فَارِغًا وَتَأْتُونَهُ إِذَا شُغِلَ بِأَمْرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. When the Khalifa of the Muslim is free and not occupied, this is when you come to him. But rather, he said to him, when he is free, you don't come to him. But when he becomes busy with the affairs of the Muslim, then this is when you come and you busy him. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he got upset, he took the soap, something that you used to hit people with, and he hit that man with it. The man became upset and he left. وَهُوَ حَزِينٌ. While he was upset and he was sad, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because it was the heat of the moment, a couple of hours later, he asked for somebody to bring that man. That man that he whipped, that man that he ended up hurting. Umar ibn Khattab, he says to this man, he'd take the salt, take the whip, the stick here, hit me back with it the same way that I hit you. The man turned around and he said, تَرَكْتُ حَقِّي لِلَّهِ وَلَكْ. I have left my right to Allah Azza wa Jalla and I left it for you. Umar ibn Khattab said, no, you have to choose one of these two. Either you leave it for Allah or you take your right from me right now. Hit me back. The man said, I'm going to leave it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab, my brothers and my sisters, He burst down into tears. He became upset. He left where he was and he went home. And when he went home, my brothers and my sisters, he said to himself, Ibn al-Khattab, O son of al-Khattab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rafa'aka Allah, kunta da'ifan fa rafa'aka Allah, you were weak, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised you. Wa kunta da'ifan fa a'azzaka Allah, you were weak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored you. Wa kunta wadi'an, you were somebody who was very, very low, fa ja'alaka Allah azza wa jal khalifatan lil muslimin. And Allah Azza wa Jalla made you from the leaders of the Muslims. مَا تَقُولُ لِرَبِّكَ إِذَا أَتَيْتَهُ غَدًا. What are you going to say to your Lord when you meet him tomorrow? وَضَلَّ يُحَاسِبُ نَفْسَهُ حَتَّى أَشْفَقَ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ. He kept on holding himself to account until the people began to feel sorry for him. Point of this, my brothers and my sisters, is look of how he held himself to account for that which is going to happen to him tomorrow. Because of some oppression that he caused, because of something that he did that which was wrong. How often do we do things that are wrong? How often, my brothers and my sisters, do we do oppression to others? Do we wrong others? We say things that we don't even pay any attention to. How often does that happen and we don't even think about it? We go to sleep and it just basically passes our minds. How many of us actually sit down before we go to sleep and we think about what we did throughout the day, holding ourselves to account? Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Hold yourself to account before that day comes where you are reckoned. The accountability starts. How often do we do that? Thinking about the many things that we do throughout the day. How many people has this happened to? He kept on saying, I'm going to make tawbah, I'm going to make tawbah, I'm going to make tawbah. He went to sleep and he never woke up. How many people has this happened to? This is why we are told, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Don't just walk, but rather run and hasten to seeking forgiveness from your Lord. Look at the tarbiyah of the walid, the father. What this now caused his son to be cultivated with, his son Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He saw how his father was and look at how this had an effect on him. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala in his kitab Sir Alam al-Nubla, he mentions an incident. A man wrote a letter to the son of Umar ibn Khattab called Abdullah, and he asked him to write all of knowledge to him. An iktub ilayya al-ilma kullah. He wanted all of knowledge. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wrote back and he said, إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ كَثِيرٌ. Knowledge is too vast for me to write it down on a piece of paper. But he said to him, إِنِ اسْتَضَعْتَ أَن تَرْضَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. But if you have the ability to meet your Lord, خَفِيفَ الظَّهَرَ عَنْ دِمَاءِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أو عَنْ دِمَاءِ النَّاسِ. You are not carrying the burden, the heaviness of having taken a soul. It's easy to carry a knife, right? It's easy to carry a knife. Wallahi, the torture that parents have to go through, and our parents have been going through over the last few years, in London especially, and even it has reached us here. Just across the street from here, a brother was killed just across the street from here. Brother Jibreel, we sat down and we ate together due to something similar to this. Just the other week, another brother got killed, Brother Hassan. It's easy for us to carry these knives, but we don't realize what an effect that it has on the parents, on the siblings, on the families, on the friends. How many of his friends did I see break down in front of me? So he said to him, إِنِ اسْتَضَعْتَ أَن تَرْضَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَفِيفَ الظَّهْرِ. You're not carrying that burden, you're not carrying that heaviness on your back.
that you took a soul, خميس البطن, and also your stomach is void من أموالهم, from their wealth, كأف اللسان عن أعراضهم, and you also held back your tongue, having spoken about others, لازما لأمر جماعة لجماعتهم, and also you're sticking to the جماعة, sticking with the Muslims, فافعل, and do that. Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badrani commented and he said very few words, but he carries the rights of the people, the rights that people have over you, things that we tend to really just look down on, not see much of. How many reminders do we need for us to actually realize and wake up? أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين واستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى, والصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى المجتبى. My dear respected brothers and sisters, with a lot of these incidents that take place, many of our youngsters, they wanna do something about it, they wanna turn their lives around, they wanna better themselves as Muslims, as human beings. What is the steps that one can take? How can a person now better himself and put himself towards a better direction? Over the past couple of years, dealing with a lot of the youngsters, especially in London and other places as well, I come across individuals who sell drugs, who deal drugs, who do it themselves, people who are involved in fuhsh, fawahish, zina, and all sorts of major sins. But what should I say to them when I come across these type of individuals? Do I start talking about the 101 things that they are suffering from and the sins that I'm committing? We are told in the Quran, my brothers and my sisters, a place to start, إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. The salah, it removes the filth and the evil from your life. No matter how many women that you're sleeping with, how many people that you've wronged, how many major sins that you have committed, we still say to you, do the salah. Because sooner or later you're going to find that the salah is going to overcome all of these filthy acts that a person might be involved in. How many brothers have contacted me years down the line just because of a piece of advice that I gave to them? They were smoking weed in front of me. I decided to get out of the car and just tell them, please pray, nothing else. I'm not telling you to stop anything that you're doing. You're going to find that slowly, slowly, as long as you are praying, it's going to remove all of that filth that one is trying to rid himself from it. And it's that very same act, the salah, that will help a person through all of the difficulties that he's going through. Allah tells in the Quran, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek aid and assistance in the prayer through these difficulties and these trials that you're going through. Sometimes the trials and the difficulties become so heavy, it becomes so difficult that you just can't bear it anymore. We are told, go and pray. And in that prayer, it will better your situation. It will make you feel better. Sadaqa wa Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jalla was truthful when he told us to go and rush to the salah. And this is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. Kan Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam idha hazabahu amr faza'a ila salah. Whenever he was afflicted with any difficulty, any hardship, he would rush to the salah. And there's so many other benefits that it comes with when a person prays. So I say to you, my brothers and my sisters, to conclude, to death, age is nothing but a number. It could come to me, it could come to you, the moment we walk out of this masjid, the moment we go home, and we go to sleep, and we can never wake up ever again. But the question is, what have we prepared? What have we now worked on that we can meet Allah Azza wa Jalla with tomorrow? This is why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to tell us, إِذَا قَامَ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَصَلِّ صَلَاةً مُوَدِّعٍ. When you stand up to the salah, then pray the farewell prayer. Meaning, make sure that this is a prayer that you're praying as if it's going to be the last prayer. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم ان عذابها كان غراما انها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، اشهد ان لا اله الا انت، استغفرك واتوب اليك، واقم الصلاه.